Greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm glad to see every one of you again. And you can judge that I'm still alive. We've had a wonderful holiday at our own Mersing Blue Ocean Resort. That's a name given by the government. Because we are next to a kampong, Lautan Biru, Blue Sea or Blue Ocean. And we spent 4 days, 3 nights there. I got my younger brother, Dr. To Siang Yao, and his wife to give them a break, as well to give ourselves a break. And Elder Heng Yao Tong, a lover of our church. And then, because there were still empty seats, Wendy and her two children, and later on her husband, also came to join us. Then Deacon Henry Tan, his wife, came because he has an outreaching ministry to preach now in the Mersing Presbyterian Church, because they have no pastor. So in one way or another, the gospel is reaching out to that part of the world. We want to thank God this morning that we can still live in peace in a Singapore that has been blessed for over 36 years by our Lord Jesus Christ. And one word spoken by our Prime Minister has revealed the great wisdom in him. He said that we are fighting terrorism. But if we cannot get along with our Muslim friends, the result will be even worse than in fighting terrorism. Because when they go to Malaysia, we know that we are in a totally different country and they are our big brother. Singaporeans should pipe down. And some MPs who have no experience go off the mark. They want to be politicians, they must guard their tongue and their mouth. So, we must always pray for our government that they will wisely lead this country, that we may all live in peace. And I can tell you from the prophecy of God's word that the world is in no way getting better, though it is said that there is an upturn slightly. But times are getting worse and not better, morally speaking. So let us all be very thankful to God when we can come and worship Him peacefully week after week. Let us now turn to the text of our message, namely Matthew chapter 12, 46 to 50. Matthew chapter 12, 46 to 50. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and the brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward the disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. The subject of my message today is why we worship Jesus only and not His mother. We worship Jesus only because He is the only begotten Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, equal with the Holy Spirit, the third person, to the Father. In substance, power, and glory. Jesus is God, the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and they are three persons and yet one God. Each one is equal to the other in substance, in their deity or godhood, and also in their power and in their glory. But we have just read, prior to this passage today, the wickedness of the Jewish church leaders, namely the scribes, the theologians, and the Pharisees, the high churchmen. Instead of agreeing with Jesus, being leaders of the church, they were the dead enemies of Jesus Christ. And they disputed Jesus' deity. They wanted to stone Him because Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And He is equal with the Father. And when Jesus forgave sins of the paralytic brought on to Jesus from the roof, to be healed of Jesus. And Jesus said, my sins be forgiven thee. The Pharisees and the scribes are very angry. Who can forgive sins but God? Then Jesus demonstrated His power to forgive sins, to show that He is God. He told the paralytic, rise up and walk. Pick up thy bed and walk. And bed is bedding. And he rose up praising God. Well, today, in the church world today, we are very sorry to find the same situation. A wicked generation, leaders of the church. And let me recount to you one of the proofs I've given you. This happened perhaps 5 or 6 years ago. I heard on the BBC, the Bishop of Durham, fourth most powerful bishop of the 50 bishops in England, rejected the virgin birth and also denied the resurrection. And he is a bishop leading the members of the congregation to worship God. What a hypocrisy it must be. One who denies the Savior's birth and His resurrection, how can he worshipfully serve our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, to prove the point, soon after his declaration on the BBC and he was resented by members of the Anglican Church, there was a synod of the bishops throughout England, and there were 50 bishops of them. And when they took a vote on the matter of the virgin birth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 45 of them joined the Bishop of Durham to deny our Lord. 90% of the leadership of the Church of England is Antichrist. Now this is a sin of church leaders. And I want to sound a warning again. If we are not watchful and our elders and session are not paying attention to every word that is preached from this pulpit, will one day land up in the same situation to have baby ministers who are enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we worship Jesus only. Why do you come to church every Sunday? I thank God I can come here, and particularly the Holy Communion session, to confess my sins, to seek renewal with God in worship and fellowship. And we all come week after week to worship Him. I hope that is why we come. Though there are others who come here for selfish reasons, for this or that social contact. But we come here, devout members of the church. Indeed, it's a most joyful time to come to church, to sing praises to Him. In fact, today I chose a song, God Leads Us Along, because a sister wrote to me, this is one of the new songs you taught me, and I was very much comforted by all the words. That's why I chose that song for you to sing today. And our hymns are always carefully chosen and tailored. What a joy to come to church. But why do you miss coming to church? A relative from Malaysia came, and so I have to take them to Sentosa. But why did you bring them to church? Now that is the purpose. But we come here to worship the Lord and not to worship His mother. Incidentally, there is a humor expressed about Mary, the mother of Jesus, being elevated to be worshipped. And they say that she becomes the fourth person of the Holy Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Mary. But they promote her to be Mother of God. In the ancient church council, the Council of Ephesus, in order to emphasize the greatness of Jesus, so they say that Mary is the mother of Jesus, so since Jesus is God, so Mary is the mother of God, which is off the mark in making theological statements. We must be very, very careful. Now, the text of the message says that while he was yet preaching, someone came and said, your mother and your brothers are waiting to see you from outside. Jesus at once knew that if he gave more honor to his mother, he indeed will be condoning the cult of worshipping Mary today. But he said, who is my mother and who is my brother? Everyone who does the will of God is my mother, if she's an elderly woman. And everyone who is of younger age, younger men and younger women, then they are my brothers and my sisters. So, if you are doing God's will, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus will come and specially bless you. As he came to visit the house of Bethany, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus came to bless them. Mary Magdalene, of whom seven devils are cast out. Love the Lord Jesus most of all. So Jesus appeared to her first on Resurrection Sunday. Jesus' mother, Mary, she also believed in her son, Jesus Christ. So the Lord blesses us all the same, but not above us, but equal to every one of us. Today we have elderly ladies who come to church with their physical ailments, and sometimes I feel very discouraged. Well, as I've gone through sickness, now I can really sympathize with the sick. We should be most gentle to help them and do everything we can. This time we went to the Mersing Chinese survival camp, and there's an old lady of 85 who has not missed a single camp for over 10 times at least has been. But being 85 years old, she is very weak. And she's got to struggle up and down the bus and go through the customs and the immigration. Sometimes long distances you've got to climb. But automatically we have the younger sisters of the church that take good care of her. Up and down every step, slowly but lovingly. These are the acts of our Lord Jesus Christ. For those who are elderly ladies, they are also like his mothers. Now, while Jesus did not promote to Mary to the high position that people would have invented for her, he, on the other hand, sets us an example of being a filial son. If Jesus can be so filial to Mary, his mother, in the flesh, how much more we must learn from his good example. So he keeps a fifth commandment for us, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother, that you may have long life. This is a teaching to today's children. What a different age now. Children, instead of obeying their parents or giving place to the parents, honoring them, sometimes may not be right. But they are very soon, very quick to argue. When the mother asks you to buy lunch for her, would you go gladly and do it as a filial duty? She's my mother. Sure, I'll do it. I know of a young man. I told you that story before, but you might have forgotten. I learned it from my wife. And she told me this true story because it's connected with his relations. 16 or 17 demanded from the father to give him $300. And when the father refused, he punched him on the shoulder. So the father had to yield to sign the check over for him. Is this the way we honor our fathers? Is this the way we honor our mothers? Instead of helping her or them, we argue. Two incidents in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ will shame us. The first one is when he was invited to Cana of Galilee with the disciples and with the mother. Then the wine ran out. Now the wine that the Jews used in the days of Jesus, or even today, the usual wine. It's not like the white or red wine that you find in the market. As I observe in the Canadian winery, they put down there 13% alcohol, 17% alcohol. But the wine used in the days of Jesus was only 3%. According to my teacher, Dr. Harris, he was a chemical engineering engineer, and he made a study of the wine used by Jesus. And the amount of wine that Jesus made to help out in the occasion was the water poured into 6 water pots. And the Bible here is rather ancient. It says each water pot contains 2 or 3 firkins apiece. 1 firkin is 9 gallons. Let us say 2 gallons will do. I mean 2 firkins will do. 2 firkins will be 18 gallons. And if there are 6 water pots, well, it's well over 100 gallons. What a mighty miracle. The first one that he did it out of filial piety. That human touch between son and mother. She is my mother, but I am the Son of God. And yet, she fulfilled the role of the Son of Man. And she said to her, my time is not yet, meaning to say, the time of my entering the public ministry is not yet come. But since you do ask me, I will do. And it was a miracle that launched him into the public ministry. What a wonderful example. How will we answer to our mother's request? The second instance is the case of Jesus ascending the cross. And he was crucified there. The most excruciating pain that one can endure. And I said to myself, when I got sick, I almost came into a fainting situation, and what could I do? Anything. I could do nothing but just like giving up the ghost. And yet Jesus Christ sustained himself, and when he saw John, the beloved disciple, and Mary, the mother, standing at the foot of the cross, Jesus immediately got them together. Behold your son, and behold your mother. Saying to Mary and saying to John, meaning to say, I'm leaving this earth now. John, you take care of Mary, my mother. And so John brought Mary home. And she now was secure, having a substitute son in John. Then Mary went back and lived with the 120, the church. And Acts chapter 1 tells us that Mary mingled with the whole church and joined at the prayer meeting. She never exalting herself that I'm the mother of Jesus. I'm one class higher than you. No. She understood what Jesus said. We are all one in Jesus Christ. There's no one superior over the other. In the same way, the Presbyterian system is that the pastor is the moderator, just the chairman. He's not a bishop as in an Anglican church, and he rules over everybody without question. But I'm only one of the members of the presbytery, the elders, as a preaching elder, and those who are elders in the church, they are ruling elders. It's the same status. So today we have elderly ladies who come to church, and sometimes you feel you are lost, but no. Jesus is all the more with you, and He takes good care of you. Now the last point about Jesus setting an example, and Mary responding with her example. Mary met Elizabeth, her cousin, the mother of John the Baptist. And when she greeted her, Elizabeth, so happy, she said, "The babe in my womb leapt for joy." And this inspired Mary to write a poem known as the Magnificat in Latin. And he rejoiced in God, his Savior. She doesn't say, "I'm the Immaculate." Some people make her the Immaculate. The Immaculate means that Mary was conceived also without sin, like Jesus was conceived without sin. A position which Mary never knew. And then Mary lived a very normal life after Jesus Christ, the firstborn, was delivered. The Bible tells us very plainly that Mary then now became Joseph's wife, and they had children, as it was stated just now, that his brothers with a mother came to see Jesus. Quite different from those who would like to build Mary up to say she's immaculate and she's a perpetual virgin. But the Bible does not say that. And in 1950, that is the most recent invention, they declared, in 1950, the Pope declared that this is the Assumption of Mary, using a very big word. Assumption of Mary means that after she died, she resurrected and then ascended to heaven. Mary never knew that there was going to be such a thing. So, mothers, elderly ladies here especially, you are honored today. Sometimes you may feel you are left out. And I would like to say a kind word to Sylvia Wong, who writes a lot of poetry to encourage our hearts. I'm sorry to hear that she had a fall. Do not be discouraged, sister. You are a mother of Jesus because you love Him. So come what may, He will surely take good care of you. We in our old age, some of us who are single, may all the more feel lonely. But we are never lonely when we think there is the Lord Jesus Christ above, who looks down on earth, and He will move His hands and feet to take good care of you. Why do we come to worship the Lord? You must know the reason for His great salvation, for the honor I'd like to put on Him, for the thanksgiving. Week after week, He has kept us safe. And why we do not worship Mary, the mother of Jesus. Because the Bible does not teach that. And so we say Jesus saves. But there is a stronger term, only Jesus saves. And let me tell you the story how we get only Jesus saves in our life church. It comes from my best friend in life church, Reverend C.D. Su. Well, Reverend C.D. Su was a deacon of a church. Later on, we ordained him as a pastor in 1957. In 1960, he migrated to New York. And as he did not find a pastorate there, he became a taxi pastor. And when he became a taxi pastor, he wore a jacket with the words, "Only Jesus saves." And that was to attract some conversation with the Roman Catholics. And he's a humorous person. He presents the gospel in a very attractive way. And the Catholic passengers are so touched by his jovial way, a humorous way of presenting the gospel. He said, usually I get $5 tips. Instead of having a fight, I get $5 tips. Only Jesus saves. Now let me tell you a story of our six column church. When our church was built, it was very grand. So one day, a fellow came wanting to come inside the church to pray. And you know at the entrance, we have no gate. Anyone can come in except the door. And as he came, he saw Jesus saves. Then he quickly walked out. Because those who promote Mary said, to make her known. But we are to make him known. I am in no way saying things against the Roman Catholic Church, but the truth is open to debate, and it must be based on the Bible, the Word of God. But today, Protestants are betraying themselves. And in America, the leaders of the Protestant Evangelical Church, evangelical meaning to say they are fundamental, they believe the Bible and so forth, not like the modernists. And they signed together in 1994 and 1997 a statement, ECT, Evangelicals and Catholics together. And they said, we are now one. There's no more difference in doctrine. But there is total difference in doctrine, because we say the just shall live by faith. The Roman Catholics say the just shall live by faith plus works. But it is plus works. None of us can be saved, because all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But the other thing to show that we are not one is why we say Jesus only. They say Mary, and okay, we can take Jesus in. The mother is first, the son is second. Does the Bible say that? Thank God we can come each Lord's Day to worship our Savior. Worship is the most important part of our worship. And we give our hearts to Him, and then He blesses us with His message of instruction, the truth. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray Thee to speak to every heart, that we may henceforth devote our lives more to You, to come every Lord's Day, reverently, happily and lovingly to worship You. Forgive us of our sins of neglect and frivolity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.